to study a little bit about the Baal Talim. So we'll discuss one of the things which is relevant to Lamaisa once you start going into the sugya, not only the sugya, but you begin to think about it in terms of halacha Lamaisa. This won't have anything to do with fairy tales. We're not fairy telling today. We're talking about stuff which is very practical in terms of application. So much of the time, I don't know how many of you looked at Shin Lamed Vav. You looked at that part of it, but there's a daraisa to go ahead and pay your employees on time. There's a daraisa to pay on time, and there's a potential losase. There's a potential violation in the event that one does not pay on time. And the question is, what exactly does payment mean? So, without developing the whole sugya, but it's clear from Shin Lamed Vav that there's that when an employee expects to get paid, so payment is expected to be in cash, kesef, and it's not shava kesef. Using something which, an object which has value, but it's not actual cash, so you cannot use. So somebody goes out and mows your lawn, and you decide, you know what, I've been collecting aluminum cans for years, I'm going to give my entire garage full of aluminum cans to the employee, a Jewish employee, so you're not able to go ahead and do so. That's something which is very clear from the poskim, that to use shava kesef, to use something of value to pay an employee, that you're not allowed to do. The sma, however, brings down the possibility of sma and sifkat and gimel, so this is shin lamed vav, sifkat and gimel. So he brings down from the Mordechai, though, he says, possibly, the dafka beteven vekash, lo yuchal lomar tomash esisa bescharcha. He says, maybe the restriction is, if I want to go ahead and I say to this person who worked for me, you know what, keep all of the straw, and that you're going to use for payment for the services which you provided, that you're not able to do. Because what's the employee going to do with a bunch of straw, even a bunch of wheat, stalks of wheat? What's he going to do when he goes home at the end of the day, and his wife says, oh, I'm so happy you're home, what are we having for dinner? And he presents her with a bunch of stalks of wheat. Well, she says, what am I supposed to do with this? We can't eat stalks of wheat. But let's say the employer gives his employee something which is edible, meaning edible right away. But if he goes ahead and gives him a bushel of wheat kernels, or gives him a bushel of barley kernels, so barley kernels we could certainly throw into a cholent. You can make a barley soup. That's something which is usable right away. So that the sma entertains the possibility that maybe that would be a good form of payment. Because at the end of the day, if we assume, different machlokas, but if we assume that the reason you want to pay cash is because the employee wants to be able to go home at the end of the day and needs to feed his family, so what difference does it make whether you give him cash and then he goes to the store and buys some food, or you just give him some ready-made food? So you go ahead and you give him some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, you go ahead and give him some barley so he can make some barley soup out of it, that would essentially be the same thing. Comes along the shach and Sivkat and Beis over there, and he disagrees. He says it's not true. I don't believe it. He has a great line. He said, "I'm b'Mordechai shekein niralo b'chalom." The Mordechai, which is the source of this, says that this seemed correct. He had some sort of vision in a dream whereby he thought that this would be the halacha. And the Shach says, "Yeshoma divrei chalomos lo malim v'lo moridin." We don't paskin halacha based on what you see in a dream. Dreams are dreams. Halacha seder is halacha seder. And hopefully we're not sleeping as we're learning, or maybe learning while we're sleeping. But hopefully we're not sleeping while we're learning, and therefore this is not going to be relevant in halacha, and cash means cash. Okay, so that for hundreds of years, for thousands of years, it was understood, you're paying an employee, you're going to go ahead and you're going to pay them cash. Now comes along the 20th century, 21st century, and by a show of hands, the last time you got cash for your paycheck was when? When you were a babysitter, maybe. So when you were a babysitter, depending on your age, when you're a babysitter, you may have received cash at that time. So nobody gets paid in cash nowadays. And not only does nobody get paid in cash nowadays, I assume most of you, it's by direct deposit. You haven't even received a check in the mail for your salary. You get a direct deposit. That would be safe? Okay. So the dynamics of the economy have changed dramatically, where to say that you have to get paid in cash is something which is an anomaly, because there's no such thing. Imagine a doctor goes to his group and says, you know what, this month I'd like to get my salary in cash. They'll laugh at you and say, that's the most ridiculous thing we've ever heard. We haven't seen cash. I don't even carry cash anymore, because it's Zelle, it's Venmo, it's this. And nobody actually carries around cash anymore. So how exactly do we update this? So for many decades, so the discussion was getting paid by check. We have two svarim over here. There's a set of svarim called check behalacha, trying to identify what exactly is the halachic status of a check. It's certainly not cash, but what exactly is it? We're not going to go through any of that. But there was this interesting discussion in the postgame about the status of the check in the sense that there was a difference between the way checks are handled in Eretz Yisrael, and maybe some places in New York, and where it's handled outside of those areas. And that has to do with whether or not a store will accept a third-party check. So it's well known if you've spent some time learning in Eretz Yisrael, if you've spent some time living in Eretz Yisrael, so you know that I could have a check. My Pickles goes ahead and writes me a check for $100, and then I could go into the local makolet, I could go into the local food store, and they say, I buy $30 worth of groceries. They say, how are you going to pay? And I give them Rabbi Pickles' check. And they know that I'm not Rabbi Pickles. They know that I'm Shaffel, he's Rabbi Pickles. But a check is a check, and as long as you're giving me a check, they'll use that as payment, and I could buy groceries with that. So post-communion in Eretz Yisrael, I didn't know if I should smile. So post-communion in Eretz Yisrael, so they were of the opinion that giving a check, even if the bank is closed and I don't have the option to go to the bank and cash the check, since the economy is such that everybody accepts checks as payment, as valid payment for, you can buy almost anything, even with a third party check, that's the same thing as cash, and you could use that to pay your employee. And the significance of that is the employee cannot say to you, I don't want this check, I want cash. Because this is something which is passed off. This is something which is used regularly as payment. So then this is allowed to be used. This is a valid fulfillment, not only of the assay, make sure that you don't violate the los assay, but it would even allow you to fulfill the assay. In the United States, in places where that's not true, so then you have a discussion in the postgame. If you give somebody a check and it's after hours where they can't cash it in the bank anyways, so then you haven't really given them cash which they could use to buy food that night. It's just a piece of paper. Maybe they could use it the next morning, but it's not usable now. And then the postgame say, maybe you didn't violate the los assay because the employee was willing to accept it, but you may not be able to fulfill the assay because you can't use it. In fact, we'll just read quickly. So the Tshuvas Van Haga, so Sternbach, so he actually brings this down. In Chela Gimel, Simen Tov Ayin Os Gimel. So he writes, he says, Chacham Echad Pirsem Shechiv Tashum Schar Sacher Hu Bekesef Davka V'lo B'Shav Kesef. So he says there was a certain Talmud Chacham who publicized that if you're going to fulfill the mitzvah of paying an employee on time, you have to pay cash and you cannot pay in Shav Kesef. V'lachein, b'check, eno kekesef mamish. And therefore, paying somebody with a check is not the same thing as giving them cash. And therefore, v'im shilem b'shash shelo yegea kesef b'yomo lebank over b'iser. And therefore, this gadol echad, this chacham echad said that if you give somebody a check for payment, when it's after hours from the bank, you violate the iser as well. Not only do you not fulfill the assay of paying on time, you violated the los assay because lemaisa, you didn't pay him. And if lemaisa, you didn't pay him with cash, so you don't get the mitzvah. You don't get the mitzvah and you get an aveira. Now that's something which is an enormous achrayus, because again, who's getting paid in cash nowadays? Nobody's getting paid cash nowadays. And if you take what this Chacham Echad says in its literal sense, that means almost every employer that you've ever known is not only not fulfilling the assay of paying employees on time, but they may very well be in violation of the los assay every time they go ahead and they pay with a check rather than with cash. And that would be an enormous responsibility to say that Klal Yisrael collectively is violating this, and that's something which is huge. Says Rav Sternbach, he comes along and he says, "Afianis daite eno tamid kein." In my opinion, this is not always the case. When do we say that a check is not the equivalent of cash? So that in circumstances where money is mandated, then the only thing which you could use is money, and a check wouldn't do that. Okay. But, says Rav Sternbach, when we're talking about payment to an employee, everybody treats that nowadays as if it is cash because, as we saw, everybody here gets paid at the very least with a check, and most likely you get paid direct deposit. So direct deposit, is that cash? Nobody gave you any cash. You didn't even receive anything. Just all of a sudden your account grows. The debt which the bank owes you has grown. So there's more money available for you to take out. But it's not even like they gave you something. They gave you something today. But being that that's the normal way, that's the way the economy runs nowadays, and as we mentioned, Rav Schirmach says, as an employee, you cannot go to your employer and say, I want cash for payment today. They'll laugh you out of the office. They'll say, get out of here. Being that giving direct deposit or a check is the normal way that people pay employees nowadays, so therefore he says that if you give an employee a check nowadays on the day that his salary is due, he says that is a fulfillment of the daraisa. It's not a violation of the lo saseh. It's a full fulfillment of it, everything. And it fulfills it. The thing which I'll leave you to think about is, just because my time is just about up, is what happens if I go ahead and I wanted to give somebody a gift certificate or I wanted to give somebody a gift card. Now, if you go ahead and you say a Visa gift card, so that may very well be the same thing as cash because that can be used almost anywhere. But let's say I give you a gift card to a particular store. So if I give you a gift card to a store, is that the same thing as giving a check? Is it the same thing as cash? Is it considered to be shava kesef if that's not acceptable? And then what happens if I give you a gift card, but it's to the local food store? So there, if the whole point of giving you cash is so that you could buy food, so what difference does it make whether I give you $100 cash and then you go into the food store and you buy it, or I give you a gift card to that store and then you use the gift card to go ahead and buy food? Is that also going to be mekayim the mitzvah, or the fact that it's not cash and it's not universally accepted, I can't use this gift card everywhere because it's unique to this store, that may limit its fulfillment of the mitzvah saseh? And that's something for you guys to discuss, to think about over lunch and whatnot. I'll take these two questions and then yield the floor.
Is this var paying in cash? Is it because of Yad Sakhar al Yaina, or just because you have to pay in Mizuman, in cash? Meaning, let's say it's the flip side. Let's say that the employer wants to pay cash because I don't want cash. I like credit. I like electronic payment. And on the flip side, can the employees say, I don't want cash.
I want
electronic payment.
It could be not. It could be that he can't say it. Because since like Rav Schirmach, since this is the normal method of payment, is right. Not because of that, right.
I'm just wondering, in a case where it's not somebody paying an employee, but I'm paying for a service, are we not chayshish for bounced checks? Meaning, isn't a check still within shem kesef? Because it could bounce. Meaning, cash will never bounce.
Right.
An employer, we assume, bottom line is positive, so people can get paid, but mowing your lawn, you could throw a check their way. Who says that the guy's money?
Yeah, if it ends up bouncing, so then you were mekayim the mitzvah. The right.
But I'm saying, we're not chayshish like that in places like Eretz Yisrael. It's in New York, if Rob said that people throw around third-party checks, somebody's going to bounce at some point, right?
Yes, we get childish about that often. but sometimes it happens. I don't know how many of you, again, because people don't write checks very often anymore, but sometimes you get a check. You know, after you wrote somebody a check, and then 2 months later it shows up in your bank, and you look on the back, and there's 37 signatures back there. sometimes you get Rebbe's signatures back there. You have to look at the signatures, because sometimes, you know, Chashuv people end up signing these things, but it happens. But if it turns out that the check bounces, so then, yeah, somewhere along the way is either a ganav or didn't fulfill the mitzvah
yomotit and tzara. From writing the first check, we're not chayshish, or taking the first check, we're not chayshish, it's going to bounce, not bounce.
If the person knows that there's no money there, then he wasn't a kind of mitzvah. If there was money there at the time, and then they sat on the check for a while. So.
Yeah. Is there an issue of processing? Meaning, like today, people are paid electronically, but sometimes it takes a period of time until it's actually able to use in your account.
So that's also something which is kind of, that's the same thing as the bank being closed. They give you a check at the time when the bank is closed.
Would the employer have to pay a day earlier? And that's it?
Could be. If that would be an issue, yes. To get you the funds available after the second draft. Shka, Hatzlacha Rabba.
Hey, Shalom Aleichem, everyone. The last time, I think the first time that I was in Minneapolis, I gave this shiur on Bal Tullin, so it's a little bit of coming back to the roots. I just want to start off by just saying two things about the mitzvah of Biyom Titen Tzcharo and the Isser of Bal Tullin. Much of Choshen Mishpat are dinim, meaning we need to know what our status is. Let's say if I'm a shomer, I need to know my chayv in Geneva, in Aveda, Pshia, in Onsen, whatever it is. I need to know what my status is. But between you and me, if I'm borrowing your lawnmower, and I say, look, you know, you're a very expensive lawnmower that you have, and I'm not willing to take achrayas for that. So I want to borrow it, but at no... If it gets stolen, I can't afford $1,500 for a lawnmower. So we can agree that even though I'm a shoel and a shoel is chayav in onsin, that I'm not going to be that I'm not going to be chayav. We can make such an agreement either to up the achrayas or to lower the achrayas. And that's much of choshev mishpat is those types of halachos. Here, there's something very unique. There are only just a few mitzvos that are talked about in Choshen Mishpat. We have a Shavas Aveda, that's an actual mitzvah, maybe done in Yerusha, might be a mitzvah. But here, clearly, we have one asay and several lavin that a person has to be conscientious about, you know, every time that they're interacting. We're interacting with people all the time, whether it's people who are coming to our house to fix things or clean things in our house, or people who are doing services for us. I was just thinking, even this morning, he took a flight here. So when he's, right, you flew, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you flew. Now the lushan that we say is, I'm going to buy a ticket. Well, is that really Mecca Humemkar? You're not buying anything. You are giving the airline money in order to get a zchus for them so they now owe you a service of taking you from point A to point B. If that would be, if the airline would be owned by Yidden and the minog wouldn't be to pay beforehand, you would be mekayim the mitzvah of biyam matitin zchara. Imagine you'd walk off onto the jet bridge right after you get off the airplane and you say to the pilot, the stewardess, thank you very much, here's my $150, and you went on. You'd be mekayim the mitzvah of biyam matitin zchara. Okay, it's not structured that way, but I'm just saying it's an important thing for us to think about what is a schar that when we are the balabais and we are paying a poel in order to make sure that we're not over on this isser and to be mekayim the asay. So what I'd like to focus on, I don't know if everyone got to this in your packets, but this is the last several seifim in Simon Shin Lamites are the exceptions. The times where you would not come into a chiyuv or iser of biyabot titan schoro. There are four basic categories of scenarios where it would not apply. So the first one, I'm not going necessarily in order here, is siftes, where he gives manatashim. When we define when the time of payment has come, meaning the pa'ula is done. Let's take the example of someone who's a plumber. He's fixing the plumbing in your house, and now he says thank you so much, and he's ready to leave. So right then at that point there is a chiyuv to pay. Or let's say it's not like that. Sometimes there are scenarios where the job isn't done, but still there is a responsibility to pay. Let's say if you're having a bigger job done. Let's say you're making an expansion to your house. It's a $50,000 construction job, and the contractor says, "I need 50% down, and another 20% at this point, and another 20% at that point, and at the very end, it's another 10%." So the 20, and the 10. Because those were given, let's say, at the end of month one, month two, and then at the end of the job, those turns into three separate responsibilities of paying bizman. And therefore, there could be three sets of lavin and three asayin by doing it at that time. So if the time has not come yet, so if the job is not over, so then there is not yet a chiyuv. Rabbi Yashiv in Mamon Shel Yisrael talks about certain scenarios like a doctor. No one's coming with money or even a credit card. Very few people are coming with a credit card to a doctor. Usually they give them an insurance card, bill my insurance, it's wait a month, wait 3 months, back and forth, and by the time you settle, and then you know, okay, now this is what I'm left with, then that's when the chiyuv of biyom titan schoro would apply, because that's the normal way of doing business, and that's when he would say that you'd be chayev. there are certain situations also when you understand that based on the type of business that you're working in, meaning who your employer is, that there is something called a Yom HaShuk, meaning he doesn't have a regular flow of income, and you understand that. And you understand that, let's say you're working for an Esrog dealer, you understand that even if you started working in the beginning of the summer, all of his income is coming during Elul, the end of Elul and Tishrei, and then it's over. And it's very possible, now obviously it's always best to speak things out, but it's very possible that you're not getting paid until, right, you know, Erev Sukkos, or maybe even Motzei Sukkos. There's another cheshbon here is if it's a normal thing that there's an accounting, a calculation that needs to be made on the part of the employer to figure out what your percentages are or what commissions are, however it is, then also there would not be a chiyuv until that is figured out. Same thing with if you're working for an organization that there's a major fundraiser, and after that fundraiser, that's when all the flow of money comes in, then that would be the zman achiyuv. I think this is also copied in your pamphlet. The Chafetz Chaim in Avas Chesed brings, it's really a quote from somewhere else in Sefer Chafetz Chaim, about the importance of speaking things out. Now, a lot of times people, they speak things out a little bit, mostly. I think that this is included. I'm not sure if that's included, but let's go forward. And they don't put it in writing. The importance of putting in writing and therefore avoiding disagreements, machlokes, he said, it can't be stressed enough. If you're not going to put it in writing, and if you're not going to be clear, be prepared to be mevater. Because otherwise, you're going to be in machlokas. So it's just a practical bin adam l'chavero, being responsible. Put it in writing. Be prepared, and you won't run into any challenges. Okay. Number two is that the Baal HaBayis has money to pay. Meaning, Chafetz Chaim does say that if you're going to hire someone and you have no idea how you're going to pay for this, you know, I need to extend my house. Right, but I have no idea how I'm going to pay for it. Then you can't. You have no business hiring someone unless you have a reasonable plan how you're going to pay for it. Same thing if you have a business. If you have no idea how you're going to pay these employees and no reasonable al pi derech hateva way to pay these employees, then you cannot hire them. So, lemaisa, something happened, and now you don't have the money. When it comes time for a payday, you don't have the money. So there, you don't have to. You don't have to sell your belongings. You don't have to take another mortgage on your house. There's not going to be a chiyuv or an iser of biyom titen schoro if something came up and you do not have the money. Now, the Chafetz Chaim does say in Avas Chesed that if it's not too difficult to get a loan and it's not going to cost you too much, both in terms of aggravation and in terms of financially, to borrow money. So let's say it's just, you know, it's $1,000, $2,000, you go to your local gemach, then you need to go to your local gemach, get a loan in order to be able to pay your employees on time.
I'm saying, all he's talking about is Isser Baal Talin, not whether you have a chiyuv to pay him back first. Isser Baal Talin is not, if I don't have the Isser Baal Talin, he doesn't have a chiyuv to pay?
Oh no, he's got the chiyuv to pay is still on his head.
So he has to go sell his clothing. He has
not by tomorrow morning.
Yeah, not right away.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so. No, next month this month there was a I don't know, a tornado and the business had to shut down for 2 weeks. And hopefully, you know, things will get back on track and everything. What? Yeah, cash flow or whatever it's going to be, thing will bounce back. It just we had a little hiccup, you know, this month. And I'm going to be behind, and I will catch up. So,
is this room also a gayim or only for Yiddish?
So that's a machlokes. Eliashiv says that there is. Think he says that there is no bigger kiddush Hashem than making sure to pay your goyish workers on time. It may not. I think it's a machlokas, but I think we hold it. It's
the Dershma.
Yeah, but that's imcha. I think it says.
What about like a 10-year-old babysitter?
Absolutely. Even more so, you tell your child, you know, if you clean up your room, I'll give you a can of soda, can of pop, whatever you call it in Minneapolis, and. And they do it, you owe it to them right then. They're working. And they're getting payment. It's no different than a salaried employer who's got you got to pay them. Now you could say if you're going
to
say
you're
going to take them. It's interesting whether you have to if it's something you have to do anyway. But let's say something that they don't have to do, and you offer them. And let's say you're going to say, "I'll take you out for pizza." It's important to say, "I'll take you out for pizza sometime within the next week, month, whatever it is," because otherwise they want it now, and you need to pay it now.
Is that one of those things like a blue nether gets you out of it also? So we're saying within the next 12 months, or is it?
I think it's, we have a Doraisa here. We have several Doraisas here. I think it's better to say
so
clearly.
I'll also buy someone a babysitter. You go out, you come back at 5 at night. When do you have to pay them?
Before dawn.
Even if they're not there?
That's going to be the next thing. Is a poel, if one of the chiyuvim is when the poel is tovea. So if the poel is not tovea, then there's no chiyuv. But a child will never be tovea an adult, which means they're no different than a taxi driver. They don't have to say, "Okay, sir, I got you to your place, pay me." It's understood. The job's over. The barber gave you a haircut. Now you got to pay. They don't even need to be tovea. Same thing. A child does not need to be tovea from an adult. Even if an adult comes just to stand next to you to show, you know, you owe me, let's do it. That is enough for to not require a formal tovea.
So you would have to make up.
When do you have to be tovea then? If the guy finished the work.
So there. I'll tell you that one of my kids works for someone, and he keeps his hours, and whenever he hands in his sheet, then so he can hold it for 2 weeks, he can hold it for 6 weeks. Okay, let me just go, just the third thing, the fourth thing just before, is there's a difference between who is the one who is chayav, meaning if there's an office manager that's hiring you, then it's hiring the poel. So it's very clear to the poel, this guy doesn't own the business. There's somebody else who's paying the bills. So no one's going to have the chiyuv or iser of biyom titen scharo because the person who's paying isn't the balach is the balachrayis, but he's not hiring, and the person who's hiring is not the balachrayis. He's not paying. Big nafkamina would be a school that is community owned. Or a school that it's privately owned. We have two of those types of schools here. So the one that's community owned, there's a board. There is no individual who is chayav. It's the board of community members who are helping together to pay the bills and to make fundraisers for the school. So there's not going to be a chiyuv or an iser. However, if it's a privately owned school, there's one person or a family that they own the school, then there's going to be a chiyuv on those individuals to make sure that people are paid on time. Okay, atzlach rab with everyone. Great to see you.
But if he did the money.